chapter 8 tonight. Good to see you here. Good to have visitors with us. Be in prayer for those that are traveling, that are away with Father's Day and family vacations and things of that nature, that they'll be safe and have a wonderful trip and be back shortly. And this week, purpose in your heart to be praying for the teenagers as they get ready to go to camp next week. We've got a whole week to bathe them in prayer, and we need God's help. God to work in their lives. They will make decisions that will be lasting ones, and commitments to serve God with a whole heart. So bathe them in prayer. I think there's a total of 31 at this point going. So be in prayer for them that they will have God's hand. The preacher's name is Shane Lewis. Shane Lewis. Pray for Brother Shane. Brother Shane just is recovering from cancer. He almost died last year. And God touched his life, brought him back. This will be our second time here, Brother Shane, and he is a good preacher. So y'all pray for Brother Shane Lewis that he will be touched and anointed by God and bring messages that will convict hearts and draw people to the Lord. Genesis chapter 8. Now we are continuing our studies chapter by chapter through the book of Genesis on Sunday evenings. And so we are looking at verses 1 through 12 tonight. And we'll try to recap a little bit from chapter 6 and 7 and get us caught back up just a little bit. So let's go ahead and read Genesis 8. 1 through 12. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged, and the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the wind, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, there was tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest in the soul, for the sole of her feet, or her foot. And she returned unto him, unto the ark, for the waters was on the face of the whole earth. When he put forth his hand, he took her, pulled her in unto him, into the ark. He stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Back in Genesis chapter 6, when we studied through this chapter, we found that God was dealing with the wickedness of men. But in the very center of the chapter, right in the middle of the chapter, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. In the midst of all the sin that was going on, and the wickedness there was one that stood firm upon the promises and precepts and principles of the Word of God. So by that example up until Genesis chapter 6, if that was the end of the Bible, we know that there is an ability to stand against wickedness. So don't throw out this here idea, well, the world is so wicked and things are so evil, therefore I have nothing, no ability to withstand. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. We have more than Genesis chapter 6, the first 6. We have 66 chapters, books in the Bible, 66 books in the Bible. And as we look at them and study them, we got a whole lot of information.
Amen.
But even up to this point, we know that there's the ability. So don't allow the devil to trick you and say, well, you know, you just can't stand in this evil day. It's a choice, dear friend. You can't. And especially if you're saved, because the Holy Spirit of God lives within us, the author of the book that we're studying, the Bible, and so we can stand. And so God found grace in the eyes of Noah, and then God gave some instructions to Noah that he was to build an ark that was fairly large by nature. It was a huge boat. As you looked at it, the measurements almost made it look sort of rectangular shaped. You know, as you looked and saw the measurements. Last time we went through chapter 8, I brought a little cube, rectangular cube that I had written upon there, and you know, to kind of give you a visual of how it would look. And so they built it. There was pitch on the outside, pitch on the inside. Then all of a sudden, God gave a commandment to Noah about the animals, two unclean, two clean, seven clean. And the reason for the difference was the sacrifices that would come hereafter. But God wanted to continue the worship process which he had set up in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve sinned. They hid themselves in the fig leaves, covered themselves up. God came and said, hey, your works are not enough. He killed the innocence of the lambs or the animals and clothed them with coats and started a sacrificial worship process that we know was passed on because Cain and Abel also came to worship. Abel brought an innocent lamb. Cain brought the works of his hands. Cain was not acceptable, and Abel was. And as we get to this point in there, so the animals are in. God closes up the ark, and the rain begins to come. 40 days and 40 nights, it rained. The bottoms of the water, what are they called, things underneath us? St. John Waterford. What is this right underneath us? Aquifer. Yes, I knew it was down there somewhere. Those things broke loose, and they came up. Rain came down. So this is a lot of water. This is something that never happened before. But before this happened, God closed up the ark, and he sealed the ark. And now, all the people that did not believe and did, well, they didn't have, oh yes, 120 years, the Spirit of God, and Noah's preaching of righteousness dealt with them. They had opportunity. They chose not the righteousness which Noah put forth, the righteousness that was found in him, the grace of God, not Noah's righteousness, but the righteousness of God and the process there. And so now they're in there. Verse 24, the last chapter we read, chapter 7, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. I mean, it rained. Remember, it climbed above the highest point. Everything outside the ark, and it rained, and it rained, and it flooded like never before, and like never will happen ever again. God has made that promise. In verse 1 through 3, you notice God's wrath is ending. You notice there in verse 1, and God remembered Noah. Isn't it a wonderful thing, dear friend, to know that the God of heaven, who put all the stars out there and named them and called them by name,
amen,
would never forget you and I, his children. And listen, in John chapter 14, look over there and see. And Jesus is not going to forget us and leave us down here. He told us he wasn't. He gave us a promise right here. Some of us are discouraged. Some of us are weighted down with the cares and troubles of the world. And you know, we're rocked to and fro because of difficulties in our life. The Bible says in verse 1 of John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, where I am, there ye may be also. And so Noah and the rain and the flooding, and it would have been easy for Noah to be thinking, Lord, Lord, we've never went through this before. We've never had this happen before. Isn't it good that God never forgot Noah? He remembered Noah. And just like God remembered him through our difficult days and difficult hours, and you know, through the loss of loved ones and the hurt and the pains of bearing those that's gone ahead and gone on before us into eternity. Listen, there's coming a day when the trump of God shall sound, and God's going to call us home. And don't be troubled with all the things that's going on in this world. Just like God remembered Noah, He remembers us. He will not forget us, and He's coming back for us. And as you read there in verses 1 through 3 in Genesis chapter 8, God caused the wind to blow, and as the wind began to blow, the dry ground to begin to appear, and things to begin to work out. God calmed the waters. Isn't it good to know that God can calm us? Remember like we walked on the waters? And you know, the raging sea? And he said, they said, oh, it's the Spirit, it's the Spirit. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And the Lord said, come. And Peter got out there, and the waters was storming, it was raging. And Peter began to take a walk. He took a step, and all of a sudden he noticed all the difficult storms and the troubles of life. And he noticed the bellowing of the waves, and he began to sink. The storm's still going. Jesus there in the storm. And Jesus took him by the hand. He read the story. He got back to the boat. Then the waters calm. God's going to calm our waters, or He'll walk you through the storm. The other times He was asleep at the bottom of the boat. He was down asleep in the bottom of the boat, and the storms came up, and it's, oh, do you not care if we perish? Peace, be still. Isn't it amazing how God works sometimes? In both situations, the Lord was with them. In the midst of the storm, of the waves, in the sinking down in the water, the Lord was with them. Walked Peter back to the boat, the Lord was with him. The other times asleep, don't you even care? Listen. He will calm the waters. Can you imagine after this storm? They never knew a storm. You and I have known storms. I mean, you know, hurricanes have come through Florida for ages now. We know storms. You know, and we wait till the last minute to prepare. How many of you got your hurricane packets already ready? Got your 14 gallons of water put away? Some sardines and crackers? Why? Soon as the weatherman tells us that Adrian's out there headed this way, I don't know the first one coming, we run to Walmart and start packing. Why is it when the preacher says the Lord's coming back, we don't ever prepare? Well, we believe a man or a lady that's a meteorologist that's wrong 80% of the time. We run. And listen, the hurricane's coming. Prepare. I want you to prepare. But God began to calm the waters. And the water, the Bible says, the waters assuaged there in verse number 1. And the waters assuaged. That means that they grew calm. They just grew calm. And the sea calmed. And guess what happened? The water began to sink back down. The ground began to suck up the water. You know, and all of a sudden you have this thing which is called sedimentary rocks. Sedimentary rocks, say it again. Y'all are such good English speakers. I love y'all. They have all these rocks, and these scientists are finding things. They're finding the most complex, heavy animals down at the bottom. That's kind of reverse of evolution, ain't it? There should be amoebas down there way at the bottom, and they're thinking. Yeah. There should be little bit tadpoles, but they're finding big mammoth tigers and big old elephants some way down there at the bottom. Because evolution is not true. Yeah. It is simply not true. God's wrath began to stop, the water stopped. The same hand, dear friend, that pulled the storm out of the sky stop the storm. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes I wonder in my own life, I say, God, have you put this storm here to teach me something? or to clear some things out of my life that I don't really need. You know as well as I do, we accumulate all kind of stuff. We've got all kind of things that some of us have forgotten some of the things we got. Well, if that is physically true, well, Ethan, I think it's got to be spiritually true. There's things that I've taken into my life that's not good growth, but weeds and stony ground and thorns and thistles. Doesn't the Bible teach us about sowing the seed? Some on thorns, this, some on good ground. I'll tell you, there's some things in my life that chokes out the good word of God. And sometimes God's got to send a storm just to get that stuff out. In other words, we won't. What happened to Jonah? Jonah's down there in the bottom, the storm's there, the men upstairs, up on the top of the boat. What did the first thing they start doing? Clearing the deck. Throwing, the Bible says, wares. Throwing things over. The wares was things they actually needed. Amen. And that's what we do sometimes in the storm. We start throwing things out we need. Sometimes I'm telling you different. We need to be still in the midst of the storm. Let God calm us to begin to pluck us out. Because the same hand that brought the storm, you mean God? There ain't nothing that happens to us that God doesn't know about. The same hand that allows that into our life is the same one that pulls it out. The same one who calls the storm, calm the waters. The same hand that did it. He stopped them. This is amazing when you think about it. It really demonstrates the great power of God. It had never rained before. God says, it's fixing to rain. And I'm telling you, dear friend, it rained with such power. I mean, you ever been over to the Grand Canyon and any of you have visited that area or gone up to the Niagara Falls or some of these places? I think some years ago, the Scahills got my boys to fly out there. What's that big old thing in Tahoe? Lake Tahoe out in Nevada? Is there a great waterfall turbine type thing out there? The Hoover Dam. I mean, if that thing was to let loose. You know, when they opened the dikes down here after that last hurricane last year, I mean, it flooded down in South Florida. I mean, it flooded. It just stayed there. Just this past week, I was up in Jefferson City, passing through Jefferson City. It is flooded from the Missouri River. I mean, water's everywhere. There's grocery stores that you can't even get to up there in Jefferson City. I mean, it's just flooded. That's powerful, dear friend. That is God's power. You know what he says to us in the Bible? That he does not allow the waters to go past a certain point, even in the great oceans that we know about. The Atlantic, Pacific, the Arctic, all these oceans, they got a boundary. God says it. You remember about 12, 15 years ago, that great tsunami that hit over there in Bangladesh? You know, that underground earthquake? And it shook and then it just rushed up on there? That's fine. What can you and I do? You and I, we don't have hardly any power within ourselves to do much at all compared to God. Dear friend, we serve a powerful God. Amen. This is a story of the power of God. Some people look at it, it's just about the destruction of mankind. No, this demonstrates God's power and God's righteousness. Why did this come? Because of righteousness of God compared to the unrighteous man. And God said, the wickedness of man's heart is constantly upon wickedness. I got to do something here. Then verse 4 and 5. And the ark rested. Aren't you thankful for the days whenever the storms of your life come and you can find rest and you can rest in the Lord? Look with me, if you would, over in 1 Peter chapter 1. Hold your place there in Genesis. We'll be right back. 1 Peter chapter 1. New Verse James, 1 Peter chapter number 1. Let's look at verse 7 and 9. I imagine if I could right now, I could give the opportunity, and there could be 5, 6, 7 of you stand up and give testimonies where your life has been tossed to and fro. Look what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, listen to how God puts it, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Dear friend, you know when we get to say this? When we find that precious rest in the Lord. There ain't none of us shouting that out during the storm. But when the trials of our faith, listen, go flip back over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 9. This is what it says. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Friend, you find rest in God. When your life's been tossed to and fro, when it seems like you've been shook up because of the cares and troubles and trials of your life, different, when we find that rest, and there's rest for the people of God. Listen, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but Noah had to get in this ark, and Noah had to get in there with these animals, and Noah had to get in there. Listen, they didn't all of a sudden all get stocked up at once either. They had regular diets, and things happen in this ark. It got difficult, I'm telling you, dear friend. They had to feed the animals. Hey, the ark was bouncing back and forth, the rain and the waters, and it was washing them to and fro. And they had to sometimes probably grab a hold to a pole or to the fish post. But in the midst of all that, dear friend, when God calmed the waters, they found rest. Let me tell you, you can find rest. God's best rest for God's people. Our problem is we don't run to the one that gives and offers rest. The rest we find is in the Lord. He's the one that calms us or calms the storm.
Amen.
It's Him. Run to Him. Run to Him. There is rest. I'm telling you, Noah found rest here. He rested upon the mountaintops. What is it good to be on the mountaintops? Well, it's good views.
Amen.
I mean, good air. I love the mountains of God. God of the mountains, the God of the valley. And He will walk you through the darkest of nights, and morning the light shall come. You found rest. I mean, it wasn't like you getting on the boat over here and going down to the Bahamas. This was a storm. This was difficult sailing. This is almost... probably compared it to what Jonah went through in 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. I mean, that was probably a lot of sloshing around. That really was. But this was in the ark, and they was there. And God, they heard the storms, they heard it. And as the floods of the waters came, and then the calm. Just like this. And we can find calm in our storm. And the storm will run out of water. It will stop raining.
Yeah.
It will be dry. But you got to wait on God's time. You know what most of us do? We've settled. We ain't moving no more. But hey, let's get chisels out. Let's start opening up this door that God's done closed. There was a window for a purpose.
Amen.
Where'd that window open up? Open up towards heaven. You can open it up. They can see. Ooh, they look out over there. There's probably another mountaintop over there. Remember, it rested upon Mount Ararat. So there's probably still another mountaintop over there. Listen, just because you're up on the mountaintop don't mean it's safe to come out. You got to wait for God's time. You know what he did? As you read on, you get over there, he took two kind of fowls. A raven and a dove. A raven and a dove. The opposites you can find of all things. I mean, just completely opposite. I mean, a dove. I mean, it's just, what do they call it, mourning? Does that Noah's there? Kind of like a cat purring almost. It's just mourning. I mean, it's tender, soft. Oh, raven, I mean, they get out there. Well, just yesterday, I pulled up out here in the church parking lot. There was an armadillo that had got ran over. They devoured that armadillo like a buzzard. I'm talking buzzards. They devoured that buzzard. The buzzard devoured that armadillo like in about 45 minutes. It was gone. What, nothing left. What, nothing left. So he turns that raven loose. And I began to think about it. Why would he choose a raven? Why did he choose a... What does this mean? Well, I began to study it. The raven's kind of a vulture-type bird. You remember the raven is one that once fed Elijah, too, wasn't it? That was the training of the bird. You want to talk about parrots speaking? Have a vulture bring you food. That's God. God can do that. Well, a raven's a type of a vulture. Well, that kind of reminds me of old carnal and natural man, isn't it? What's the old carnal man want? He don't care where he puts his feet. You notice when he put the raven out? The raven never come back, did he? He rested. Hey, there was a something floating. I don't know. I was going to say a cat, but probably a cat lover here. So no, probably wasn't a cat floating. Probably was a bull. No, there's probably somebody that likes bulls. I don't know. Maybe there's an ostrich floating around over there, and there goes that old raven landing on that top of that old fat, bloated up, rotten ostrich. What's the Bible say about the hog? Returning to his slop. What's it say about the dog? Returning to its vomit. What is that likening this? Man. You know, if we're not careful, dear friend, we'll get out there and just, it doesn't matter where our feet land. That dove cared, didn't it? What did the Bible say? Let's read that. What did it say? Something about the foot, didn't it? Verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. There's too many of us too much at home in this world. We don't care where we put our feet. We just get out there and go. We just get out there running around like this old raven bird. Verse 7, and he sent for the raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. That's it. That's how we go. We just get out there and we just go. Just like the old carnal nature man, we just go. Didn't return to the ark. Listen, we're so susceptible to the pressures of this world. Dear friend, we're not careful. We got to remember, what's the Bible tell us to be? Harmless as what? A raven? No, harmless as a dove. The Spirit of the Lord descended like what? A dove. And he chose it. He said, here's a raven, here's a dove. He turned them loose. The dove flew around. Like a spiritual man, listen, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. The raven is in this world and of this world. We've got to be like a dove. Flew around, there wasn't nothing there, nothing there. Come on back. What did Noah do? Hey boys, let's break down that door. The raven didn't come back. No. The dove came back. Hey, let's wait on the Lord. Let's wait. 7 more days. He sent the dove back out. And the Bible says the dove brought something in its beak. What was it? Which is a what? A sign of what?
Peace.
God's peace. Also, if it brought it back and it was green, it's a sign of what? Life. So what are we to do as doves? be bringing peace. What's the Bible say? As much as life within me, live peaceable with who? But why do we choose who we're going to live peaceable with? Well, I like Brother Jim. Me and him's going to have peace together. Peace, man, we're good. We can't live like that. We can't live peaceable as much as life. Well, Pastor, it don't lie within me. Well, that's not true, because the Bible gives us a great commandment. Love our enemy. If God told us to love our enemy, it's within us to do so if we live according to the Spirit of God which lives within us. And we're to look for new life. Dear friend, we've got to be busy. There's folks out here lost, dying, and going to hell. We've got to present them Christ. What's the ark of picture of? Salvation. Hope. Pitch within, without. How are we? What do we do? We're to be ready to give an answer. An answer of what? Hope that lies within us. We're to be able to stop the mouths of those that would scorn and scoff at the things of God. The problem is, nowadays, dear friend, you put God's people and the lost people in the same bag, shake them up really good. You know, old Croker sack, shake them up, and you throw them out there, and sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. We are to be peculiar, different. Spirit of God is like a dove. When that dove is so peaceful, it's just there. Isn't it amazing that he would use just opposites? Total opposites. Total opposites. I'm going to say this. I'm closed here. This has nothing to do with the message. Aren't you so thankful that God saves people that are totally opposite, that we don't have to all be the same? Aren't you glad? I mean, it would be horrible if y'all had to all become like me. Oh, my soul. What a world we'd have. You know what we would have? The Adams family, all of them. We call it the Stockton family. What's those? What's it doing? Y'all remember that one, don't you? Yeah, what's the old bald-headed grandpa's name? Does I look like him? Hey, well, there, you do it. What about it? Aren't you glad, Brother Harry, that you didn't have to become like somebody else, that Jesus just accepted you because of faith in him and repentance toward God? You was born again. What rest. What rest. What the ark. I'm telling you, this is a new chapter. God's mercy. Okay? Noah found grace in the sight of God. Now, mercy. Hey, Kenley, you know that song? You want to come sing it with me? Noah found grace in the eyes of God. You okay? Hey, you know it? You okay? Maybe next week. Her and Riley can do it. Oh, no, next week we'll be gone. Yeah, that's a good one. All right. The ark. Water saves. The dove's gone out. And now the doors are going to open. Wait on the Lord. Quit busting down doors. Stay and rest in the presence of God. There is rest for God's people. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. We pray, God, you bless us as the choir comes. We ask you, Lord, to help their voices. Those that are traveling away and visiting with family, I pray, God, you bless them. Strengthen their minds, their hearts, and Lord, as they finish their vacations and times away, I pray, God, you bring them back here ready to go, ready to serve you in your house. Thank you for sending visitors our way. Pray, God, you bless them. God, as our teens get ready to go to camp in a week, God, may you soften their heart. May, Lord, as you as the potter and them as the clay, God, even for our counselors that are going, I pray you touch their lives. Tonight, I pray as Brother Shane gets done preaching over his church in Alabama, I pray you lay upon his heart the messages that would prick and convict and bring a change in the lives of our teenagers and not only ours, all that will be there. In Jesus' name, amen.